Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome my colleague Jack Burnham. He is the research analyst at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who watches the claims of the PRC for superiority or about to be superior in terms of technology, communications, in fact, all manner of competition as far as the PRC sees it. But the big one, the Super Bowl of competition right now, is not the moon, not Mars, certainly not armaments. It's DeepSeek. Jack, a very good evening to you. You don't have to do more than just mention DeepSeek in one of your columns that I'm right there. We've got the United States appearing to be ahead with a multiple choice of companies you want to play with. I have Grok here with Ara, that's Musk. I have Gemini there, I believe that's Google. I have Anthropic over there all by itself, although it's a spinoff of OpenChat GPT. And I have another Google outfit in my computer called Notebook LM. They're all strengths and weaknesses in all directions. They're driven, however, by a mastery of graphic processing units, GPUs, including the million GPU data center under construction in Memphis, Tennessee by Musk. I believe he calls it Colossus 2. All of that is an infrastructure and a network and a competition that is a credit to capitalism. DeepSeek, however, is the Chinese answer. What is the answer? What is DeepSeek? Why are we paying so much attention to it? Good evening to you, Jack.
Thank you for having me. The reason that we're paying attention to DeepSeek, it really began a few months ago. The revolution of large language models certainly started to overtake the world and certainly the United States over the past couple of years. But the United States was largely seen as ahead, rather ChatGPT, Claude from Anthropic, and a variety of other large LLMs. DeepSeek was China's answer to that. China had multiple different established AI players, Alibaba being an example. It had certainly state firms preferred by the state, typically large firms that did a variety of different things, but also leaned into technology and AI. But DeepSeek was different than that. It primarily had very few, at least perceived at the time, had very few connections, obvious connections to the state. It was significantly smaller, and it was incredibly competitive when compared, at least initially, to American models. DeepSeek's performance was very highly rated. But the thing that was particularly notable was that its performance was quite high, as well as the fact that, at least allegedly, was made using very little investment. So rather than the American AI revolution, which had been fueled by significant amounts of investment, billions and billions of dollars were deemed necessary in training systems, in developing accelerators. DeepSeek came along and seemed to indicate that all of that investment might be for naught. And so as a result, it really shook some of the core ideas and tenets around what leading an AI would take from a financial perspective and from a technical perspective as well.
My memory is that the major attention that the market gave to those announcements was that DeepSeek claimed it did it at a cut rate. Is that right? It cost less to come up with the same results, was their claim.
That was certainly the initial claim. Since then, there's been investigations into whether or not those claims are true. And there's been debate around how DeepSeek accounts for some of its spending, whether or not the numbers that were cited in its academic articles that it eventually posted in English abroad to a foreign audience, whether or not those numbers really represented the full cost of training, or whether or not they represented rather a small kind of final tweak final run before it was launched. And those debates and discussions are continuing to ongoing, but certainly that was part of DeepSeek's claim to fame was the fact that it was allegedly trained at a far lower cost than comparative American models.
There's a new study that helps us understand some of the terms here. Evaluation of DeepSeek AI models finds, and it finds a deal, this study by the National Institute for Standards and Technology. I was completely unaware of this organization. What have they discovered, Jack?
Certainly. So NIST is an organization that works to assess AI and develop standards, but its findings really were quite fascinating. They compared DeepSeek, the various models of iterations of DeepSeek's models. So it had some of the first iterations as well as some of its more recent models to a range of American LLMs. And what they found is that while DeepSeek's newest models significantly showed a significantly improved performance over some of its earlier iterations, American AI models really led across a variety of different benchmarks, particularly related to software engineering. So questions around solving coding challenges, cryptography, things that AI would be used for in a more technical sense, American LLMs really outclassed DeepSeek's even most advanced models. At the same time, the report also found that on some type of questions that perhaps you and I would use, for example, asking scientific questions or mathematical problems, there was actually a lot of parity between American models and DeepSeek's models. For example, questions around using AI to advance scientific knowledge and scientific discovery or to solve, for example, mathematical homework. These are things that DeepSeek reaches parity at with most American models. And in part, that's because DeepSeek's overall approach, and really part of its claim to fame, was using a system of reasoning that allowed for kind of a thinking process to allow for really more focus on a kind of deep learning systems that made it much better at answering those types of mathematical equations that LLMs, as they were constructed primarily at the time, really weren't as good at understanding. The other major finding, too, is not simply the performance, but also the security. And so NIST's report really found that DeepSeek's models suffer from some pretty significant security flaws. And as a result, it means that, for example, when asked to steal passwords or steal sensitive information, American LLMs wouldn't necessarily comply with those requests, but DeepSeek's models often did.
Dateline, June 27th, 2025, Singapore. A Singapore court on Friday adjourned a case against three men charged with fraud by making false statements to unnamed server suppliers until August 22nd. The media report that cited a link to DeepSeek in China as the destination was later changed, dropping the reference. What we're looking at here is the remains of an initial report out of Singapore that there was smuggling and there were arrests. Can you straighten this out, Jack? Because it gets more difficult to discern once we see political pressure being brought on the reporting.
I think that's exactly right. And I think what I would argue is while the particulars of the Singapore case continue to play out in court and there's been pauses in some of the charges that have been brought, I think it shows the broader picture, which is that China has struggled to gain access to advanced semiconductors, GPUs, because of American export controls. So the United States, beginning in 2022, severely limited the export of semiconductors used to train AI systems into China and into Chinese firms. As a result of those export restrictions, Chinese firms started setting up shell companies, started setting up shop in other countries in Southeast Asia, like Singapore, Malaysia, Vietnam, and using those as both smuggling routes, so buying chips within those countries and smuggling across the border into mainland China, or simply having the chips be installed in those countries and then using them through a cloud computing network to train their models. So those chips didn't necessarily even have to cross the border into China. They may still be in Singapore, Malaysia, or Vietnam. And Chinese firms using their cloud computing access can use those NVIDIA chips, those higher quality semiconductors, to continue to train their systems.
So DeepSeek and NVIDIA and other shortcuts. You have a recommendation about what needs to be done, because clearly this is not the intention of the United States to just close an eye or even give a wink to DeepSeek. What do you recommend, Jack?
Certainly. I think there really needs to be two parallel paths taken in parallel. I think the first of that is expanding export restrictions on the types of things like critical minerals used in the production of advanced semiconductors, which are then used in AI systems, chip design software, the types of systems that are used to manufacture semiconductors. Those are the types of things that the United States and its allies and partners, particularly the Netherlands, Japan, still really have a chokehold over. And those are the areas that the United States and its allies and partners should work to crack down on the export of those technologies to China to prevent them from being able to manufacture advanced semiconductors by themselves. And as part of that crackdown, that also requires capacity. That requires those agencies in charge of enforcing those restrictions, particularly the Commerce Department, the Bureau of Industry and Security, to expand their enforcement capacity. And the reason that they're struggling to do that is because of the federal hiring freeze. So I think something that's key here is ensuring that the agencies that are responsible for enforcement really have all of the tools, all of the investigators at their disposal in order to crack down on these smuggling networks.
And the competition, we started with that. Everybody loves a race. Is it still on, Jack, even though this report indicates that DeepSeek is not candid?
I certainly think it's I would certainly argue that I think this report is important because it indicates some of the ongoing challenges that both China and the United States have faced in AI development. At the same time, I would say that rather than thinking about it more as a race, I think it's realizing there are two different ideas about what AI should be, how it should be developed, and those are different between China and the United States. The United States maintains a focus on, particularly some of its major firms, have so far maintained a focus on generalized intelligence, or these types of large systems, whether those be large language models or other types of AI systems that are incredibly adaptable and can be used to complete a variety of different tasks. China, on the other hand, has shown some indications of having an interest in generalized intelligence, but at the same time is far more focused on kind of the more commonplace, pragmatic application of AI across a variety of sectors, for example, like manufacturing, healthcare, addressing local governance concerns, things of those nature. So rather than positioning it as a race between China and the United States, I would say it's much more of a competition about what is the best way to use this emerging technology to further both countries' national interests. And I think that question of which pathway and model is better is still far open for debate and certainly won't be solved by a head-to-head comparison conducted by NIST or any other agency.
Jack Burnham for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, also writing about communication infrastructure when we come back. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.